Hey there, Nerd Clan. Head on over to ScotlandShop.com to get your friend or loved one, or heck, even yourself, the most authentic Scottish gifts like tartan blankets, scarves, or even hats for yourself. Just for the season to love on yourself. Tis the season of love. And I gotta be real with you, there's no love like self-love, okay? We need to take care of ourselves.
Especially
first.
When it's snowing in Texas.
Oh my, everyone needs a tartan blanket right now. Everyone needs it in their life. Just to give you that little bit of cozy. Maybe you can just pretend that Jamie Fraser is wrapping this around you. Oh, I love it. Best of all, you can actually use the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST to get 15% off your purchase. Once again, it is scotlandshop.com, coupon code OUTLANDERCAST.
A land that is cut through with rocks and mountains that weave like some kind of tartan kilt.
And you were going to go there.
Which is called Scotland.
Scotland.
We're going on the trip of a lifetime.
We've spent a lot of time here, obviously, shooting Outlander.
What is portrayed in the show is truthful in many ways.
Time travel is truthful.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily thinking of the time travel bit.
Story of two men who know nothing.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I cannot believe that this was your idea of a good time.
This is a great example of amazing Scottish seafood.
The soldiers would dance the swords before they went into battle.
The origination of Highland Games would come from the clan.
This land tells a story of its people.
Thank you for having us, Captain.
Oh,
to take us back to shore,
pleasure.
That would be great. Make it so.
Make it so? Seriously? Have you been waiting all day to say that?
Yeah.
That is impressive! Yes!
Here's to Scotland. Men in kilts.
Kilts, a road trip with Sam McGrath.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander and Men in Kilts on Starz. And welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I desperately, desperately, desperately want to go to Scotland now.
I mean, we always wanted to go to Scotland.
Yeah, but like even more now.
But the drooling that we did over last night's episode of Men in Kilts over just Scotland.
Oh, man. What are we doing sitting around here for?
We are going to plan our trip so perfectly well.
Yes.
We're going to know everything we want to do, everything we want to eat.
Especially after watching Men in Kilts.
Oh my goodness gracious. Just sign me up for the Men in Kilts tour.
Absolutely.
I'll take the Outlander tour and then the Men in Kilts tour.
Let's do it.
Do I get to roll in barley? Hope not.
I'm
gonna be finding
either.
That stuff in you for weeks. Goodness gracious!
Places that you never knew you'd think to look.
Seriously. Well, before we get into the rest of this episode and delve deep into Men in Kilts, which sounds so naughty.
Oh, hey girl!
I didn't even mean to, but I did. I went there.
Hold on.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Before we get into the rest of this episode, we wanted to remind you that you can actually follow Blake and myself and subscribe to this podcast. If you are not a podcast person and you're watching this somehow on social media, head on over into a podcast app. Hit that subscribe button. It's where we're at, man. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, all by just searching Mary and Blake. We also have a wonderful, wonderful group of people at jointhenerdclan.com. who, from the goodness of their hearts, pledge to help make sure that shows like this continue. You can become an official Nerd Clan member, get great benefits, bonus episodes, premium podcasts such as Keep Calm and Crown On, our Crown podcast. And our next podcast is coming out, chosen by the listeners at jointhenerdclan.com. Lots of great things. And if you're brand new to us because you found us because of the Showmen and Kilts, we want to welcome you here.
Oh, there's one other thing, Mary, that's at jointhenerdclan.com that just started today.
Oh, yeah.
Today. What is it?
The Bridgerton Book Club.
Oh, yes.
Bridgerton Mary's Book Club.
Mary's Book Club. Woo! Come on, get the branding right.
Okay, Mary's Book Club.
Featuring Bridgerton, the Duke, and I.
Yes, yes. So if you binged Bridgerton just like I and Blake did, and by the way, we have a Bridgerton podcast, and if you wanted to read the Duke and I, good luck getting your hands on that copy because they have been sold out. You got to wait a little while, but you can get it on Kindle, you can get the audiobook, or you could, you know, ask a friend if they have it.
Sure, why not?
Or just be on the waiting list at your local bookstore.
Or get the digital version.
That's what I meant.
Oh.
Kindle.
Oh.
Where
you know
been?
What?
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
It's okay, we're married. I'm used to it. I am starting a chapter by chapter read along. It actually started today. It is exclusively at jointhenerdclan.com. So for as little as $2 a month, you get to support all of our podcast endeavors. Keep this independent podcast thing going. We've been doing it 7 years strong. Love Outlander. Love Men in Kilts. All right, let's get into this show. All right, Blake, break it on down for me.
Well, there's not a whole lot of detail to go over because really this is not the typical podcast
I
that
know.
We do. But I will say that the title of episode one, the premiere of Men in Kilts, is Food and Drink.
Hmm.
And it's apropos because it was all about food and drink. So, Mary, we tend to do kilt ratings and GBGs. I do think it's still fair to do that.
It would be weird to not do a kilt rating.
I know.
For a show called Men in Kilts.
Well, because I was thinking, like, do we do kilt ratings? And I was like, well, maybe we should change it up because it is Men in Kilts. And then I was thinking, okay, well, should it be whiskeys? Should it be scotches? And I was like, no. That's stupid. Yeah. How many kilts?
Yes.
It's called Men in Kilts.
So we rate the episodes on a 1 to 5 scale, 1 being the worst, burr.
Yes.
And then 5 being, that was some dang good. You know what? That was great. That was great. Sign me back up. I want to rewatch it again and again and again.
Yep.
And then, yeah, we also do our GBGs, our good, our bads, and our greats for the episode. So, friends who are watching online, now is your time to let us know your kilt rating on a scale of 1 to 5 and also your GBGs. My kilt rating was a 4.95.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Wow. Does it deserve an outstanding, Mary?
Or I mean, are that's we short a 5
of,
plus.
Yeah, we're short of an outstanding here.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's fair.
4.95, guys. I'm in.
That's pretty aggressive.
Oh, you watch this over and over and over.
Wow, man. Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll take it. 4.95.
How about you, Blake?
You know, I'm going to give it a 4.1.
Okay, and for those of you who are, once again, new to Blake and I, Blake's a harsh critic.
You are. You know, I am a harsh critic. I actually quite enjoyed it.
It
was fun to watch. There was some really great back and forth between Sam and Graham. But I feel like, you know what? It was a little rushed. And not rushed in that it was a short episode.
Okay.
Rushed in that there was just a lot to pack in. And it's so very slick. You know what I mean? It's very produced, which I suppose is a good thing. But in the grand scheme of it, I would put a 4.1. There are some things here that didn't work out well, but there are lots of things that did, and I appreciate it, and it was a lot of fun to watch. So I'll take care of that.
I need to give a shout out. Denise Smollett, who's watching us live right now, she said she's giving it a 4.8. Lost two, the point two.
Yes.
Due to a lack of men actually wearing kilts.
That is actually a fantastic point, Denise. Denise
Cheers
is bringing
to Denise.
It today. Good
yes.
job. Good
yes.
job, girl. So, your GBG, Marvin.
Okay.
What do you got for your GBG, that you're good and you're bad and your great.
For the episode. Yes. All right. So my good is I just love these two. So for those of you who don't know, Blake and I have been also reading the companion book, Clanlands. I'm actually reading the book and listening to the audiobook. Blake is just listening to the audiobook. So we're spending a lot of time with Graham and Sam.
Lots of time.
Yeah. In addition to just Outlander playing on my television frequently in the background, now I've got them reading an audiobook and now we're watching them on the screen. I just really, really love the bromance between Graham and Sam. And to see it also on screen, knowing all of the extra banter that we've been able to read in the book, it's just a treasure. Just an absolute treasure.
Yep.
And as an extrovert who's been feeling very lonely and like I haven't really seen friends, I feel like I'm seeing two of my friends that I've been, you know, just able to chat over the phone with. Now it's like I get to see them.
Sure.
If only I could hug them. My bad, my 4.95, that like 0.05 was the rolling in the barley.
Yes.
I'll get into it. It was just like, it was, A, it felt like, ew, someone's going to drink that and you're going to get it stuck in your boots, which he did. But then it was just this slow motion thing that I know was meant to be funny and like, oh my God, you're just so cute. But it just lasted a little too long where I was like, how much did Sam have to pay Graham to do this? Because I don't think Graham would have really wanted to roll around in
there
barley.
There is zero chance he actually wanted to do that.
And the
that.
Way they wanted to dive into it, you expected it to be deep, but it was just like the floor.
Right.
So it was the only moment in the show where I looked at Blake and I was like, this is going on a really long time. Like, it's kind of weird. But I get what they were going for. My great, and once again, I only took off a 0.05, so it's not that bad. My great was watching them eat.
Yes.
I cannot eat scallops.
No, you cannot.
I wanted to eat that baked scallop.
In the worst
way. So badly. And I don't like scallops. I can't stand the smell of scallops. Scallops are actually my maiden name's crest. Like my maiden name is Earl. And the Earl family crest are three scallop shells.
Yes. Yep.
I can't eat scallops because I'm incredibly allergic. I wanted to eat Graham's scallop with a like pastry thing around it. Dang, sign me up. Watching them eat on so many levels made me happy.
Yep.
How about you? What's your GPG?
All right, for me, the good, oddly enough, the production value. It was a lot better than what I thought it was going to be.
Agreed.
It was
beautiful.
Like, okay, so the difference that I'm saying between my bad and this, well, I'm sorry, the one of the reasons why I'm giving it a 4.1 is that it was very slick. It almost felt staged. But the production value of the show, the shots,
the beauty of it,
it and like the like all of the different
sweeping
shots and like
the B-roll,
even like all of like the cards that they used to like for all of the
animation
all
cards,
the animation, and everything was really good. And the editing also was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with all of the Outlander bits that were put in to emphasize a point or to make a joke or whatever. That kind of slick production is something that's good. The bad, however, like you, Mary, and this is the staged part of it where it doesn't feel genuine.
Yeah.
Is Sam and Graham jumping into the barley. Like the initial part of it was actually kind of fun.
Yes.
I didn't believe that they would do that, but it was just very staged and it was very long.
Like I can believe Sam saying, "Don't you just want to jump into it?" I believe sweet little childish Sam was like, "I really kind of just want to dive in it, can I?"
Yes. Can I just do it? Can I just do
it? And then being told sure.
Yeah.
And then them doing it. And then it just took a little too long. It was kind of like the Hobbit trilogy. Just took a little too long.
You could tell Peter Jackson was just stretching it a little bit. And I feel like they stretched it a little bit with the barley. The same thing goes too with like the, oh yeah, we're going to leave you guys to do 16 rows. Like obviously they're not going to make Sam and Graham do six. So it's like, it's obviously staged. I don't want to see obviously staged things. Like Sam and Graham are charismatic enough to just let them go.
We don't need to pretend that they were actually told to spend a few hours cutting peat.
But that was then left. That then leaves what to my great is, which is Graham's reactions to Sam whenever he does like something stupid or like says
I'm not going to be kissing anybody today.
Right. He looks at him like,
You're only hanging out with me.
Are you serious?
Are you saying you would be kissing me? Is there someone else coming along?
Or like they're genuinely, I think it was a genuinely funny moment when Sam's trying to pour the coriander into the thing. It's going all over Graham. Graham's like, what are you doing?
The wind picked it up. Yeah, Sam is like flourishingly, he's like, oh, I just mortared and pestled the crap out of this. I love it. It's so good. And he gently is supposedly putting it in. And he pretty much like color run covers Graham's beautiful sweater.
And then, and again, born out of that very staged thing with like the moss and the peat and everything, Sam trying to get out of the trench and he falls and Graham goes, yeah, that was graceful. Mm-hmm. Like genuinely funny.
That was so good.
Like priceless stuff where you
I'm just so glad they're mic'd. Yeah.
That is the thing that I want
to
see.
Or like when they took that thing, I just need to delve into it now because it was one of my favorite parts. When they're on the fishing ship and there was, what was that thing they caught? That Sam was like, this is the grossest thing I've ever seen. I feel like I need to go watch all of the Octonauts episodes. All of you who have young kids, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And find out what this like oval shaped pink thing was that Sam and Graham are just like, we don't know what this is, but it's so ugly.
Yep.
And they just like hucked it. The other, the like baby lobster, Graham like tenderly put back into the ocean. Yeah. They were like, whatever this thing is, it's probably endangered. Yeah. Throw it out.
So that is that, Marvin. And
yes. But you just love Graham's reactions.
I do. I think Graham in the book is also, again, yes, if you've been listening to the latest podcasts that we've been doing, Mary and I have been reading Clanlands, as a matter of fact.
It was a closed anemone, says your senior photographer on Instagram. Diana Gabaldon said it was a closed anemone.
Sure, whatevs.
I've never even heard of
Neither
those.
Have I.
The only anemone I know is the one that Nemo lives in. I've seen other anemones, but I didn't know what that was.
So, and as a matter of fact, here's our Clanlands right here. If you're watching us live, here's the book right there. And Mary and I are reading this book. And if you're following along with the podcast, we're going chapter by chapter. We're just short of two-thirds of the way done.
We had a goal to be done by the time the show started. We have been very open that sadly we had a miscarriage in the like beginning of starting this book. So I'm feeling better. We're recovered. But it has delayed us, obviously, in the podcasting and reading of Clanlands. But we're going to get there when we get there.
Yep.
And it'll all be good. As I said, we're just going to have lots of Sam and Graham
yep.
going on in the Larson household.
So in the podcast, what we have done is we have recognized the fact that I'm definitely Team Graham. Graham. Like it's just there's I love Graham. He is definitely what I've realized my spirit animal.
And I've also said that Graham and Sam remind me of the characters Frog and Toad.
Yes. and they certainly are.
And believe it or not, we actually watched this show with our daughter.
Yes.
Did we watch it with our son too?
Our son too, as well.
And we told our daughter, like, because they were kind of trying to figure things out and they've seen bits of Outlander. Not episodes, obviously. It's too gruesome and there's sex or whatever. But they've seen like little clips here or there from our podcasts. And they were very confused. They were like, wait a second. Oh, because in the show, they're also showing clips of Outlander. So they're very confused. Like, how is that the same guy? Why is his hair longer? How is he able to be in both places? And we had to explain, like, those are actors, and do you remember your characters, Frog and Toad? Pretty much that's who these two gentlemen are. So if you understand that there's, like, an older, curmudgeon-y one, and then a very younger, taller, happier, let's just go do everything one, there you go. It's Sam and Graham.
Right. So one of the things that I appreciated about the show, and now that I'm appreciating about the book, is that they are definitely two different entities. So far, I mean, the book does not start with any of this. This, you know, none of this food and going to the Tom Kitchen's kitchen, you know, or going to Islay and Laphroaig and all.
We haven't even gotten to that yet, and we've read half of the book.
More than half of the book. So it's you can see how the book was, you know, created for itself to be its own thing, and then the show was then. It was then produced to be a wholly different thing. So it's funny to watch the show and they'd be like, okay, we're starting it off. We're ready to go. Here it is. And they're saying, okay, we're going to go eat some food now. And when you read the book, you know, that's totally not what happens in the book. And I feel like the book Clanlands, if you have not gotten a chance to read it yet or listen to it, it's, I don't know if it's more true to what actually happened. It feels that way to me. that it's more true to what actually happened.
I don't even know what happens, man, because it's the magic of TV.
Right. And so what I'm getting at is, like, in the book, they talk about how they took a number of different shots to do this and to do that, and they're going to cut it all up and put it in different places and this and that. And I feel like the book is probably more true to form.
Yeah, because this makes it seem like it was one whole day. They woke up, ate the delicious scallop dish, then went out fishing, then decided to go ride bikes and try some whiskey.
Right. And in the book, it doesn't happen. Like, they visit a couple of places. And let me ask you that, Mary. I contend that... Actually, I kind of like the half-hour time.
Oh, my gosh, me too.
Because I don't think an hour...
I mean, I would gladly
Take an hour.
Yeah, we would.
I would take an hour.
But it was satisfying. It kind of reminded me of how I feel after dessert, where I'm not full, but I savor it.
Right.
And then I just rewatched it anyway. So it was an hour in my heart.
Right. So I like the half hour. I feel like it moves quickly. I feel like we're moving from thing to thing. But there's also a drawback to that, in that we're moving from so many different things. You know, before... they have the scallops. They're already on the way, and they're moving on to eat some more stuff, and to go fishing, and then they're going to eat some more stuff after
that. They cook the lobsters, and they cook a fish, and they do the coriander thing.
Right.
And yeah, they're riding bikes, and then they're barleying it up,
and then it's
cutting
then it's
peat. Right. I mean, you're right. Like, they, if you think about all of the different places and all the different things they did just in this episode alone, we know it wasn't in one day. But that's the magic of television.
Yes.
And truthfully, like, they were given what they were given. They were probably told, you can have this many episodes. You've got a half hour spot for you.
Yeah.
And who knows? Who knows what will come from this? Maybe they'll say, oh, we have the DVDs with the extended cuts.
Sure. Another thing I think that probably happens here, too, is that they spend a lot of time in the episode introducing themselves.
Yeah.
And probably rightfully so. I mean, we in the book and in our analysis of the book, we have talked about, they know who their audience is. You know, some John, you know, down the road isn't going to just watch Men in Kilts because, hey, look, it's these two dudes going into Scotland. No, they know it's all the Outlander nerds coming together to watch Men in Kilts. But just in case, they still have to connect the two. And I wonder if that was part of the deal, being like, we're going to cross brand here and you have to put Outlander in.
Oh, maybe.
You know, for Starz to say, yeah, we'll distribute this, but you got to cross brand.
I would totally agree with it. Now, Veronica chimes in on Facebook saying the way that she understood it, this was their pilot and it was made after the first weekend adventures. They went to different places every weekend and this one was the very first time.
Oh, okay.
So, and this is kind of like what they presented, you know, as their pilot.
So this would totally
make sense, and it's exciting to see if things stay the same, if they differ at all. So let's kind of like just go bit by bit. We start things off by going to the kitchen, which I loved how Graham and Sam were like, if that's your last name, Kitchen, it has to be.
Right.
you just literally have to cook.
Right.
You can't do other things. You can't be an accountant.
Tom Accountant.
Yes.
You know, like Tom Plumber.
And I loved how, like you said before, the animation that happened in this episode was cute. It went very well along with just like the friendly nature of the banter. It wasn't a lot of extra B-roll. B-roll meaning just like extra shots without Sam and Graham in it.
Right.
I liked that because we could have seen, obviously, more fisherman shots and the different kinds of things that they had. But I liked it. I liked just the little arts and then how the art would sometime become the scene that we were actually envisioning.
Absolutely.
It was just very, it was cute and friendly.
It was very well put together.
Yes.
It was edited well, especially with the thing with Sam and how he imbibes a lot and it just keeps referencing back to Jamie taking all the booze in and everything.
that was amazing.
That was good.
It was good.
And it wasn't just for the sake of doing it. It helped like inform what the show was trying to say about the characters itself, which I thought was great. And so it was well placed and well edited. So from there we go to, you know, the kitchen and they're eating all the food. Actually, I kind of kept thinking about Mary, Natasha's Kitchen. Mary and I watch this YouTube channel, Natasha's Kitchen, and for all the amazing, great, fun, beautiful recipes that she puts on, and our kids love it. And she's great. She's charismatic,
she
knows how to put on a good show. Anyway, at the end of each recipe, she puts on this thing of like the taste test. And I feel like we had the taste test for every single little thing. And I was just waiting for them to be like, oh God, that's gross. That's horrible. No, no. Like,
no, I truly enjoyed it. You know, it's funny because, you know, naturally you think of Scotland being an island, having all this fish. But I do think a lot of people just assume, you know, Scotland has a lot of haggis and, you know, you eat the potatoes and everything. It was really neat to watch. So Blake and I live in Rhode Island, and the nickname for Rhode Island is the Ocean State.
Yes.
We have loads of seafood in Rhode Island. We don't have prawns, you know, but just being there and seeing all the different types of seafood and having the lobster and seeing the fishermen, it felt a lot like home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that people who are in more landlocked areas or don't necessarily get to have seafood and shellfish be such a big part of their horticulture, you know, of their exports and everything. It must be different, but it makes me even more excited to go to Scotland, because when you have those things that feel familiar and yet are a little different, you know, a different take on lobster, for example, like how they were cooking it. Like, I wanted to eat the lobster the guy made on those coals, on that coal fire.
Yeah, right.
He said, oh, it's so simple, and they're just mixing this stuff. I'm like, give me the recipe. Is there a meninkilts.com where I can get this recipe? Because we can get lobsters just down the road.
Right, exactly.
I can do this.
I saw that they did put out like a cooking recipe or something that you can follow along with to get through all the things. But before we continue, we just want to talk about our amazing sponsor for today's episode, scotlandshop.com. So if you're watching us live right now, you'll see Mary and I wearing some beautiful tartan stuff. I mean, excellent. I got my Mackenzie plaid hat on. Mary is wearing her weathered Fraser tartan
blanket
just as this beautiful shawl. I mean, and it is awesome. And we got them all from scotlandshop.com, where you can go and check out all these amazing tartans that they have and plaids that they have that just represent the Scottish culture. Go and find out about yourself and your family's history. They'll even go there and talk to you about all the stuff.
I mean, they won't go to your house.
Well, no,
but you can do it.
You can call them and say, hey, I want to learn more about this stuff. And they will literally just take time out of their day to talk to you about your family history and everything that goes on with your family name. And they'll give you all the history. They have personal appointments. You can email them, call them on the phone. It's amazing. And they are experts in the field of tartans and textiles. And they take the virtual appointments now because, obviously, you know, it's the COVID times and everything.
The pandemic that shall not be named.
I know. So everybody has all different various kinds of tartans. We learned in the latest chapter of Clanlands that there were just tartans that for families that were totally mixed up until just recently it became an actual thing. And Scotland Shop is there to help you get it done. And listen, it's snowing in Texas, okay? Get yourself a tartan, even if you're in Texas.
You need it. Everybody needs it right now.
And save 15% by going to scotlandshop.com and using the coupon code OutlanderCast. You'll save 15%. You can't beat that with a stick.
You sure can't.
Cannot. So, Mary, I will say this. I think the show Men in Kilts will survive on the banter and the charisma shared between Sam and Graham. I say that because what they're doing isn't, you know, like this big, huge, different idea. This has been done before, putting two or three or four actors in a van or a car and put them on a road trip and see where you go. I mean, Stanley Tucci's doing one on CNN.
I want to watch that one too.
But my favorite one,
once again about eating, but in Italy.
But my favorite one that has been done so far of this ilk is The Trip. The Trip with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan. And it is... It was like the progenitor of this style show, where it's these two best friends that just go, and they go to all throughout. The first one was all throughout Scotland and England and Ireland. And they just go to all different restaurants and pubs, and they just rank on each other, and they have fun. And they made a whole film about it. It was 2 hours long. And then they kept making sequential films because everybody loved it. So go and check out The Trip.
Okay.
It's amazing, and they're two best friends just ranking on each other. And this is of that ilk, right? This Men in Kilts is of that style. And because I don't think that it's the most unique idea, I do think that it will survive on Sam and Graham's chemistry. What do you say?
100%. Their chemistry, their bromance, the way that they banter with one another. And I got to say, there wasn't as much as I thought there was going to be of the back and forth banter in this television episode as I thought. Because in the book, I mean, it is constant. You know what I mean? What's the ginger?
Oh, Sir Ginger or the Nuts?
Yeah, can't wait.
And like Sam keeps calling, Graham keeps calling Sam a ginger or whatever. Like the latest one was the Duracell Ginger Bunny.
Yes.
You know, like that's what Sam is.
So I'm excited to see more of that happen. And if not, I'm really happy that I've read Clanlands. So this is just like a little plug. If you haven't read Clanlands and you wanted to, we obviously are covering it here on the podcast. So you can enjoy that along with it. It is an easy, quick read.
I would say even that if you don't read it, we go over it pretty in depth. So if you don't read it, you don't have a copy in your hands, you can listen to our podcast and you'll get a pretty good feel for what the book is.
But I
will say, if you're going to delve into Clanlands, my suggestion,
get the audiobook. Yeah.
The physical book is great because I'm a nerd and I love to have physical things.
Me too.
But the banter between the two plays a lot better in the audiobook than it does in the actual book.
Agreed.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you hear their voices, you hear their cadences. I completely agree. And that's why I'm pumped that the show is here. It exceeded my expectations. I mean, I know I already love Scotland, and I already know that I love these two actors, these two people. But it's just, it's a real delight. And I think it's just what so many of our souls needed right now.
I totally agree. It was, and especially since we don't know when Outlander's coming back.
Which it is filming.
Right now, they just started.
Season 6 is filming, yes.
They just started.
So we know it's coming back.
So, I mean, look, they started in January, right? I think the little action clip thing said January 6th was the first shoot date for Outlander.
It's the 12th day of Christmas.
So you're going to say you got at least 8 to 9 months of just shooting, and then you got another couple of months of post-production, we will earliest see Outlander season 6, I would say January or February 2022.
Imagine if we get it Valentine's Day weekend then. That would be a Valentine's Day treat.
Yes, that would be a Valentine's Day treat. I'll take
very,
that.
Very, very long, but I would at least say like this is something good for Valentine's Day weekend to look forward to.
Yes, totally agree.
Even though it will be on a Monday.
I just have to call out Sam on his nerd cred a little bit.
But like his nerd cred that you're proud of him.
I'm very proud of him for calling it out. You know, he's on the boat and he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to pretend. The boat's captain name was Kirk, his first name. And, you know,
for those of you who don't know, Blake is a huge Trekkie.
So I'm just going to play it for myself right now. Oh, sorry. Hold on. That's not loud enough. I had to play it louder.
Nerd!
listen, I'm a massive Star Trek fan, and that is the reason why I started Outlander, because of Ron D. Moore, who was the showrunner for Outlander for the first 2.5 seasons, let's say. And Battlestar Galactica, of course, but I'm a huge Star Trek nerd. Sam says, make it so. That is not something that Captain Kirk says.
Okay.
That's something that's said by Captain Picard. And I just want to throw that out there because this is a big deal. This is a big deal.
Okay. So for those of us who like aren't your level, you're basically saying that for the equivalent, he quoted a line that Colin McKenzie would have said while saying it to a guy named Dougal.
Kinda. But like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Am I
relating it well? You're saying that he quoted a line from a different character to a guy who's probably been told all of his life, oh, you're Captain Kirk.
Yes, especially because he's a captain of the boat.
And then he got it wrong.
And he got it wrong.
Okay.
And listen.
Bless his heart. He's trying.
He's definitely trying. And that's what I want to say a little bit. He's like, oh, I'm a huge Trekkie.
No, you can't fandom shame people, okay?
I'm not shaming.
That is that right there is fandom shaming.
No, I'm not shaming. I'm just calling into question the veracity here, the level of Star Trek nerddom. Listen.
I think you need to drop it. I think we understand where you're standing on this. Okay, can we get back to Sam and Graham?
It is what it is. I think that's a...
The time that they hung out, doing all that fishing and like just kind of sorting things, neither of them got their hands really dirty. I mean, I've watched many an episode of Deadliest Catch.
Yes, you have. Deadliest Catch is the best.
Deadliest Catch, man. When it's raining on 4th of July weekend, that's all I want. I just want to watch these guys catch crabs, scary.
And ladies and gents, that is a true story. Mm-hmm. One year, we were with friends, and it was 4th of July, and it was raining like cats and dogs. And all we did was stay in and watch a Deadliest Catch marathon the entire time.
It makes you appreciate your Alaskan king crab even more.
And it was glorious.
It was. So, you know, it was just cute, though. It was cute to see them go out there. And then, of course, they got to go and have that beautiful cooking session, which reminded me of the clam bakes here. So have you done a traditional New England clam bake where you cook out on the beach?
Yes.
Like with seaweed and you do all that kind of stuff? Yes. Awesome. So once again, another thing that felt like home, and I'm interested to know with listeners who are either tuning in live, if you're listening to this later, like if that kind of felt the same for you, if you have, like, we catch quahogs and clams and, you know, lobsters and stuff. And then you cook them with the seaweed and you do this whole thing. It's really rather cool. But just to see how the chef did it and how cute and queasy Graham was about the killing of the lobster. Because we don't like early kill lobster. We're like put them in the boiling pot lobster people.
Yeah, we just put them right in. Boom. Yeah. I don't like cut it in half. No, and that was really funny. We're like, hey, look at that over there.
Is that a seagull? Yeah. It is. Look at that seabird over there. And you just see the guy like hacking at it. But man, it just looked delicious. And they really do love to eat.
Yes. Or at least they play it off like they really love to eat.
No, they love to eat. I just don't know if Sam eats a lot of food.
Well, we know that Graham loves to eat.
Yeah.
Graham loves to eat.
Oh, we know that thanks to his book.
Constantly. Constantly, yes.
And then, of course, we end up at the whiskey distillery where we get to learn so much more about whiskey thanks to some of those cute little graphics.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, it just felt cool being there. And just looking at the process and having the things throw up the barley and like spread it and move it and cut it or whatever. And drinking 25-year-old Lefroy. Oh, my God.
So cool.
Oh, man. Like there was the moment where they're all drinking it and like I kind of wanted to just
be there.
I wanted to be there, but I also wanted to give Sam a little bit of a brain duster.
Why?
A little bit. Little bit. When they're all drinking it and it's just silent.
Yeah.
And Sam has to break the silence.
Well, what did he say that bothered you?
He says, oh, the silence.
Oh.
Well, yeah. No.
That's exactly what I do.
I know. And
so rather than be like, oh, Sam, remember that Sam and I are Tauruses. Yeah, I'm literally.
And I'm Graham.
Yeah.
So when you're watching this show or you're reading the book, just picture Mary and I.
This is like what we're like when we go on vacationing.
Yes.
It's exactly it. I'm making you try things you don't like.
Anytime,
making you go on experiences.
Anytime I see something like this where it's just silence, I think of the movie Crimson Tide where Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington are on the submarine. They're watching the sunset. And it's just this beautiful moment of they're right before they're about to go underneath the water. And it's just silent for like a minute or two. And Gene Hackman says, bravo, bravo. You didn't ruin the silence.
Oh, okay.
To Denzel Washington.
I appreciate it.
So whenever something like that happens, I'm always very sensitive to that now because of the movie Crimson Tide.
And sadly, you're married to me.
I know.
And just silence is
constantly
awkward.
Has to talk.
You know what I thought was so cool?
What's
just
that?
The immense peat bogs that they have.
Yeah.
Peat bogs. We got cranberry bogs. We've just got like bogs for no
bogs
point.
Bogs for days, guy.
But a peat bog. And that thing with the horn that's like molded to the guy's hand. Right. Made me think of mouth guards, you know, when you played sports in high school and you had to like mold your mouth guard to your teeth with some boiling water. And these guys are just being guys like, oh, I've got your horn.
Yeah, like, right. It's just like, you know, it's a bunch of guys being dudes. And then all of a sudden it's basically.
That's what she said.
You know, that's all it really is. And just guys being dudes. It's,
oh, my goodness gracious.
What my new favorite saying on this planet. That will be a new Outlander cast shirt. Guys being dudes. and it'll just have a picture of Sam and Graham. There you go, guys being dudes.
Oh my goodness gracious. Love it. Love it. So overall, I really, really enjoyed this episode. I mean, as I said, I gave it a 4.95. It's pretty much a 5. I have rewatched it a couple of times. I'm loving it while we're also reading and listening to the audiobook of Clanlands, and I can't make that recommendation enough. Mm-hmm. Of course, we are covering this in this Outlander Cast podcast, the book. And we're all just daydreaming of going to Scotland together. And I'm putting it out into the universe. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We will have an Outlander Cast tour.
Here's my big goal. Big. Like calm down.
Like Julia Roberts. Huge.
Okay. Huge. I got the bags in my hand. Yeah, huge.
Big
goal. Almost like calm down goal.
Okay.
I want to do the series finale podcast in Scotland.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want to do the series finale, Outlander, you know, if it's season 6, so be it. If it's season 7, so whatever. I don't care. But I want the series finale live podcast and viewing with all the Outlander nerds, all of us together in Scotland somewhere.
Okay.
I'm down. It's going to be hard, man, to
I mean, to I'm not that. In charge of planning events. That's all
no,
you.
No,
I just show
that's
up.
That's me. I'm the one. Me and Bobby. And Anne, go over there. We're part of the potty planning committee. We're going to be freaking out. We can barely put one together in Newport, Rhode Island. It's my state. And I got to go across the world, across the Atlantic.
But at least we've got the clothes for it.
It'll be good.
Scotland Shop has got us covered.
Scotland Shop will take care of us. Oh, my goodness gracious. By the way, go to scotlandshop.com. Use the Outlander Cast coupon code to get 15% off any of your purchases.
All right. So I'm ready to wrap this episode up. I actually just want to go watch it again.
Any final thoughts on this episode for you,
I'm
Mary?
My final thought is that I'm happy that these recipes are online as I want to make that lobster.
Yes, I'm in on that.
I can't do that delicious baked scallop thing.
Will you?
Maybe you can do
that
it.
That baked scallop thing was so cool.
It won't be as pretty.
No.
It'll be like the Rhode Island version of it. The scallop with its pretty edges and the little baked thing. And then the quahog's just like, meh.
And there's like this Tommy and Sully. Hey, here's your quahog. You want me to fry it for you?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, why don't you get some...
Quahogs are delicious.
They are. But it's just, you know, just two Rhode Islanders just picking them up with their hands, moving them with their feet.
Goodness me.
Yeah, why don't you throw it into the pot next to my ciggies and beer?
Goodness.
I would say, for my final thought on this episode, I quite enjoyed it. It was very staged for a lot of it.
The whole show is staged, my
darling. I know, but like even some of the interactions between Sam and Graham are just feels it's scripted almost. And what I want from them is just them to be them.
You just
I want them
Graham
to be guys being dudes.
Saying graceful.
Yeah, that's graceful.
Like tips into the peat bog somewhere. Right. Okay.
Like I love the fact that Sam fell and that it just Graham just rips on him. A totally organic thing. That's what I want from this show.
Agreed. And you want the coriander all over.
Yeah, I want the coriander
sweater.
Yeah, everywhere. Like all of that. That look that Graham gives Sam when that happens, and after Sam says, "I'm not kissing anybody today," just go back and rewind to that moment.
That may be my favorite face of Graham's.
That might
be
my favorite moment of.
I didn't know what
show.
He was thinking. Was he thinking like, "You're not kissing me"?
Yeah, like.
Or, shoot, I'm stuck in a camper van with you.
Well, like, I just... Or, what are you saying that for? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you just said that. We're making a TV show
See,
here.
He's just a person who says things, okay?
Right.
Just says things.
He has no concept of anything that...
I love it.
...should be happening, which is great.
Which is just so endearing.
I feel like, you know, because in The Trip, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, they play exaggerated, heightened versions of themselves.
Yes.
I feel like Sam and Graham, for the most part, except for the scripted parts, are just being themselves. Like, that's
I would
just
agree.
Them.
It feels very natural.
Yeah, I would agree. So, all right. So, yeah, I liked it. I think let's see what else the rest of the season brings.
Yes, please.
In terms of...
And can there be a season 2?
I hope so.
I hope so,
now,
too.
Now that the show doesn't have to introduce the Sam and Graham and the whole thing... What are they going to be doing? Like, how are they going to continue the momentum going
All the
forward?
Things we saw in the trailer.
Yeah.
And all the things we've read about in Clanlands.
So,
I'm so excited.
Yeah. All right,
giddy
ready
up.
To close this bad boy out?
Sure am.
Let's do that, shall we?
wanted to remind you all that if you're on social media, so are we. You can obviously find us by searching OutlanderCast, but if you like Blake and I, you can actually search Mary and Blake. We have a slew of other podcasts. We're covering the show This Is Us on NBC currently. We did just wrap up Bridgerton, so if you've been binging Bridgerton, as have pretty much everybody on this planet, we've covered that as well as a slew of other podcasts. We're doing a Harry Potter reread, and we're doing that through the Potterverse. You can find everything at maryandblake.com.
Oh, and The Last Kingdom we will be doing after season 5 of This Is Us wraps. So I'm very excited about that. Make sure you follow Mary and Blake on all of the social media just to catch up on that. And of course, join the nerdclan.com. If you go there, you will become a member and get all the great benefits and fun stuff that we have going over there, whether it's Blake's book club, where I'm covering Voyager at this moment, or now Mary's book club covering The Duke and I, which is the first book of the Bridgerton series. You have the After Dark podcasts. I mean, you got Keep Con and Crown On. And
there's a ton.
This is an independent company. This is an independent little podcast that Mary and I, this company that we have created. And it's not a corporate-based system. It's not part of the corporate monster. It's Mary and I doing the best that we can to give you...
It's a mom-and-pop podcast.
A fun, engaging community and podcast. So if you go to jointhenerdclan.com and support us there, that will help keep this independent company running. So please, please do so if you get a chance to do that.
Another thing you can do is you can screenshot your app or your podcast, put it in your stories, and tag us, Mary and Blake Media, if you're on Instagram, and we will reshare that content, give you a little bit of a shout out. It also helps your friends learn about our podcast.
Hey, Lumos
well.
Is here now.
Yes,
finally taking her spot.
I love it. All right. Until next time, lads and lasses, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.